Morning, saints. What an encouragement, what a joy to hear great news as we just heard about our brother. May God bless him in his holy matrimony, and may he and his new bride be able to honor our God with their home. I'm sure that you guys all noticed, as I did, that Brother Albert was beaming and just wanting to yell it to the top of his lungs. But congratulations to him and Sister Dora as well for their son's marriage, and of course for their daughter that they've now been able to gain to their home. Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. And I know that on your outlines it has verses 26 through 40. We're not going to read it all, but I do want us to read beginning there at verse 32. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 32. The place in the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who would declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered, Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved King, we draw near to thy throne, Father, because of the precious blood of thy Son, who, Father, as a lamb without spot, shed his blood so that we can be cleansed from our sins, and that now we have this grace to approach thy throne humbly through the avenue of prayer. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and Father, we are grateful for this first day of the week in which we, Father, as thy holy saints, assemble to worship thee in spirit and in truth, striving, Lord, to continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. For those, Father, who are visiting us, who have yet to put on thy Son in baptism, we ask, Lord, that you open their ears, that you allow them to focus and to pay close attention to the word that shall be taken from thy holy scriptures. That your word, Father, like that seed upon the good soil, may bring forth good fruit, Father. That it may show them, Lord, how indeed you have provided a pathway to salvation, and that truly, Father, it is not far from any of us. And that, Lord, they may find the boldness along with the understanding to be obedient to thy word as we strive to continue to do so even now after being baptized. Be with us, Father. Allow us to put on pause and on hold, Father, the issues of this world so that we can put our full focus on you and on your word. And forgive us, Father, when we have sinned or when we have dishonored your holy name. Grant us the opportunity to always make it right. For this is our prayer in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please allow me to read verse 35 one more time to you, as this is from where we have taken the title of our lesson this morning. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. For the past several weeks and in this first quarter of 2025, you and I have been looking at paradigms of salvation. We've been studying case by case of conversion stories. We've been reading of how the Bible shows us that we can use different ways of spiritually fishing, if you will. But indeed, this perhaps is one of the most beloved by the members of the Lord's church. This is one of the ones that we often go to and turn to, and perhaps if you had the blessing as I did, that since a child you were among the church, you often heard this sermon or this lesson, this pericope of Scripture mentioned at least once a year when it had to do with salvation. But what I would like to do on this day is not only also mention it and bring it up as we already know it, but I would like for you and I to perhaps try to delve as best as possible a little bit deeper into how this case study took happen. You see, today I want us to focus on the teacher, the one who taught, the one who revealed the Redeemer to the prospect known as the Ethiopian eunuch. And tonight, when we study it, I want you and I to examine the prospect himself. I want you and I to examine the Ethiopian eunuch himself as far as his reception and what about him led him to find that boldness and to find that conviction that he expresses in his confession. But you see, when we study this passage, what you and I have to understand, brethren, is how the Redeemer was revealed by Philip. Now, for those of you who have signed up and been coming on Saturdays, you already know that the first thing that I'm going to bring up is the fact that Philip knew his purpose. Philip, the very first thing, and this is the same Philip who we talked about last Sunday, the first thing that he did was understand that God was calling him through this angel to continue to be the evangelist that he had been. He did not ask questions, he did not know to whom he was going, nor did he know what he was about to get into. All he knew and he understood was that he was being sent, and Philip answered the call. He answered the call because he knew his purpose. He understood what his duty was, and Philip thrived and enjoyed serving God with much gladness. But because we've already established last Sunday how indeed this man earned that beautiful moniker of the evangelist, notice as we see this other case of how he evangelized. You see, Philip began with the simple question of, do you understand what you read? When we see this, we notice that the Ethiopian eunuch answers correctly, or rather he answers honestly. No, I don't know. And what we read is that he was reading what we today know to be as Isaiah chapter 53. We know that the passage of Scripture, verse 32, that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading was a portion of the suffering servant described there in Isaiah 53. So what we see, brethren, is that as we begin to see how did Philip reveal the Redeemer to the Ethiopian eunuch, the first thing that Philip did as he opened his mouth to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch was to explain to him what the purpose of Jesus was. What the purpose of Jesus was. Notice once more that in verse 32 and verse 33, the scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading is in reference to the prophecy or the prophetic word about how Jesus was going to die on the cross for us. If you will, turn with me to the book of John. In John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning there at verse 29. In fact, let's go back to verse 22. Notice how here John also quotes the same prophet who just was read by the Ethiopian eunuch, only now this prophecy that he is about to share with us is in reference to that forerunner of Christ, John the Baptizer. And we read in chapter 1, verse 22, "Then they said to him, 'Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.' Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Pay attention to the fact that Isaiah spoke about John. And the purpose that Isaiah spoke about John was to teach us about John's purpose. He teaches us that John's purpose was to make the way straight for the Lord. As we've already mentioned, he was sent as the forerunner. But now, pay attention to the fact that the same prophet who spoke about John not only reveals to us John the Baptizer's purpose, but he also reveals to us the four-way or the path that he was preparing to show us the way of the Redeemer. The purpose of our Lord, as we see in verse 29, was to be that Lamb of God who takes away sin. He, if you will, was the propitiation of our sins. The word propitiation simply means that He was our scapegoat. He was the one who took our place. Jesus, as you are now analyzing and hearing this, He came to this world purposely to die in our place. This was His purpose. And as he was reading this, the Ethiopian eunuch did not know of whom these words were. It's curious because he asks, is it the prophet who's speaking about himself? Look at the parallel how here John is being asked, well, are you the one? Are you the Christ? Are you the one that is coming to save us from Rome's yoke? Similar questions have always been asked. And John tells them and identifies them that he was among them, yet they did not know him. It's amazing when we read that by the time the Ethiopian eunuch is there, worshiping in Jerusalem as he's on his way back, Jesus had been among them and they still did not know him. And the reason why they did not know him is because they were unaware of what his purpose was. You see, in the Jewish mindset in the first century, the mind or the purpose for the Messiah was to overthrow the Roman yoke and to establish the literal throne of David. Because they did not understand what his true purpose was, they could not identify who the Messiah was. They would say comments such as, "Is this not the son of the carpenter? How then does he know letters?" They would say other things such as, well, show us a sign of God if you are indeed coming from God, after having performed various miracles in their eyes. You see, it's important, brethren, that when we are revealing the Redeemer, that to those who are listening, to those who, like the Ethiopian eunuch, are reading Scripture and are unable to understand of whom that Scripture is speaking to, that we are able to show them who it is speaking to by explaining this is his purpose. Or as the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. You see, Isaiah 53, as we've already established, was a prophecy. Jesus established himself as the Messiah by fulfilling that and all prophecies regarding the Messiah. Thus, those prophecies translate to his purpose. They show us his reason for being here. They show us why he came, and those prophecies were explaining to us how he was going to accomplish said purpose. Thus, the first thing that Philip begins to teach this Ethiopian eunuch, as he explains to him what that scripture is talking about, or if I want to be more accurate, who that scripture is talking about, he's answering the question the Ethiopian eunuch asked. He's using it as a way of revealing the identity by revealing the mission and the purpose accomplished. So when we read this, brethren, we see that the first thing that Philip does is to show the Ethiopian eunuch the purpose of the Christ, the purpose of that prophecy, the purpose of the one of whom it was speaking. Go back with me to Acts chapter 8. If we go back to Acts chapter 8, notice how Philip then transitions on to the next. He's already revealed to him the purpose. Now, pay attention to verse 34, or verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" You know, we have to answer the following question. Why was the Ethiopian eunuch interested in baptism? Why was he really interested in being baptized? What was it about baptism that Philip had taught him that had to do with the purpose of Jesus, the purpose of the one being prophesied in that prophecy, that made the Ethiopian eunuch ask this as he saw that there was water? Notice the not the urgency, but notice the excitement, and notice the readiness of the Ethiopian eunuch. Something about baptism had been revealed to the Ethiopian eunuch that was teaching him and making him realize that there was a promise that was tied to it. You see, with the purpose, there was a promise that was revealed to him. Now remember, we're exploring what verse 35 is referring to, what preaching Jesus means. Preaching Jesus means, number one, teaching the purpose of Jesus. But preaching Jesus also means, number two, teaching about the promise or the promises of Jesus. You see, this Ethiopian eunuch heard something about this promise, that his purpose was tied to a promise that was made by God, that his purpose was tied by something that God had said he would do through the purpose or through the mission that had been assigned to his only beloved son. This made the Ethiopian eunuch want to inquire, essentially, how do I take hold of those promises? You see, he was taught about the promises of Jesus. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now remember, the prophecy that is being read, or that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, was Isaiah 53. Let me put it to you this way. The Bible study was based on studying Isaiah 53. I'm going to make a small parenthesis here. Pay attention to the fact that what they are studying was the Bible. What they were talking about was the Scripture. And what Philip used to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch was the Scripture. From this Scripture, says the Bible. So in the Scriptures, we find the purposes of Jesus. Or the purpose of Jesus. In the Scriptures, we will also find what those promises, or what that promise was. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to start there at verse 21 for context. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. There's the purpose. Once again, the purpose of him dying for you and I is now being taught to us, that it is also so that you and I would have an example to follow. We committed no sin, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Now pay attention to the final two verses that we're going to read. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Friends, did you catch that? Did you catch how here the Apostle Peter is alluding to Isaiah 53? You see, he's not quoting it, but notice how he is alluding to it in verse 24 and in verse 25. You see, in Isaiah 53, the prophecy was that by his stripes, we would be healed. It's talking about the beatings that he took. It's talking about the crucifixion. It's talking about how he was going to die, taking our place. And by shedding his blood on the cross, as our two brothers just read and allowed us to reflect, how his body was beaten so that we wouldn't have to be, and how his blood was shed when that lance was pierced on his side, so that we then could have access to the blood that remisses our sins. Thus we read then that the promise that Jesus made, or the promises of Jesus, was that with His death on the cross, He would secure the pardon of our sins. That by Him dying on the cross, by His stripes, we are healed today. This is what Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, the scripture they're studying is Isaiah 53. In that same scripture, in that same prophecy, is where we read the prophet inspiring and by inspiration write, "By His stripes we were healed." You see, at that time, they didn't understand what that meant. Without a doubt, the Ethiopian eunuch himself did not understand what that meant. He didn't know what that meant. Sadly, brethren, sadly, friends, today, there are many who do not understand what that means. But that part of prophecy, by His stripes we are healed, it is a promise that in Christ Jesus, we can and will find salvation. That He is indeed our Redeemer. That He is indeed our propitiation. And once more, that His purpose was to come and obtain and guarantee God's grace that justifies us from our sins. This is what was taught to the Ethiopian eunuch. With the purpose comes the promise. He had to die. He had to be buried 3 days. He had to resurrect on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. According to the scriptures. So that today we can be healed from our sins. You see, the promise was made to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Because from this promise, from this Evangelion, this gospel as we like to call it, this glad tidings, this good news, from this promise, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the promise. The promise that the Ethiopian eunuch was hearing from Philip's voice was, your sins can be forgiven. Your soul can be saved. You can be added to the kingdom by the King of Kings Himself. You will receive an inheritance. You will be made a co-heir with Christ. And you will rise to a newness of life to never look back again. These are the promises that the one on the cross, who hung on the cross, made by hanging on that cross. He died so that I could live. That's the promise. Do you see why? Do you see how, friend, you who have yet to obey the gospel, do you feel the same thing as the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you see why the Ethiopian eunuch all of a sudden became very interested in this promise? He became very interested in baptism? Why, when he saw waters, he did not want to wait? Why he asked that question, that very important question? Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What else do I have to do? What else must I do to obtain these promises? How can I be a co-heir with Christ? I want these promises. I want to be a part of this. How can I accomplish it? How can I achieve it? You see, go back with me, please, to Acts chapter 8. That same question that we're talking about. That same curiosity, that same enthusiasm and genuine heart that we're seeing from the Ethiopian eunuch teaches us that preaching Jesus is not only about the purpose of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, but it is also about the precepts of Jesus. The question that the Ethiopian eunuch is asking has to do with authority. It has to do with legality. How can I legitimately get hold or lay a hold of these promises? But not only that, Philip has already explained it to him. You see, Philip had already taught the Ethiopian eunuch about baptism. The eunuch would have never asked about it had Philip not brought it up. And it's amazing how many false doctrines and false teachers out there want to deny that salvation is through baptism, when we clearly see in this passage that Philip, when he preached Jesus to him, included baptism in there. That's the precepts of Jesus. You see, the one who died on the cross so that he can legitimize the promises made to us has every right to tell us how we obtain them. The precepts belong to the one who died on the cross for you and I. Because Hebrews 9 teaches us that he is the testator, meaning the owner of the last will and testament, who died on the cross so that that last will and testament can go into effect. Amen. Go with me to Matthew 9:28. This is what the response, or rather, this is what it means, Philip preaching or teaching, rather, Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch looks like. He taught him about the purpose of Jesus. He taught him about the promises of Jesus. And notice how he included the precepts of Jesus. We're going to read beginning at verse 16. Notice, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Notice the next passage. Here are the precepts of Jesus. Here is what he now, with all authority, what he now wields legally, rightfully, and through certification. All authority has been given to me. He didn't snatch it. He didn't go to war for it. He did not fight for it. He earned it. He earned it. Go, therefore. Here's the precepts. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. Why did Philip preach, or why did Philip teach the Ethiopian eunuch about baptism? Because Jesus commanded it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Purpose, promise, precept, all found in these three passages. I died so that I could obtain and earn the authority from heaven. The promise is that if you are obedient, I will be with you every day until the end of time. But there is a catch. There is a requirement that has to be met. There is an if that proves there is a condition to these promises. If you are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and if you observe all things that I have commanded you, then I will be with you until the end of time. And as 1 John teaches us in chapter 2, and my Father and I will abide with you. You want these promises? You have to first meet the conditions. Brethren, we cannot preach and teach Jesus to the world and not include the precepts that he has commanded us. Because the fact that we are teaching and preaching the gospel, we are following his precept. Notice the very first commandment he officially gives after having been risen from the grave. Go and make disciples. That is a commission and that is a command, an order given to his church. Go. Teach them what I taught you. Go. Give them what I gave you. Go. Talk to them about my purpose. Talk to them about my promises. And teach them what they must do in order to obtain them. When we begin to tell one another about a certain sell that's going on, usually the question is, well, what do I have to do if I want to get X percent off on my purchase? Well, you have to go to this app and you have to fill out this information and then you have to take a screenshot of it, and when you go to the store, you have to mention it to them so that they can scan it, and then it will give you the discount. If I don't do any of that, do I have a right to get mad if they don't give me a discount? You guys advertised this. You promised that there was a discount. Why am I paying full price? Well, yes, we did, but did you follow the instructions? Promises, brethren, must always be tied with conditions. You see, Jesus came here with a purpose. He came here to fulfill promise. But because he is the one who died on the cross, he's earned the right to tell us what we must do to obtain the promise that he has made. Philip did not leave this out. And it's amazing that all of this comes from Isaiah 53. All of this from Isaiah 53, and not even the whole chapter, just that snippet that the Ethiopian eunuch was not understanding. Who is the prophet speaking of? Is he speaking of himself? Or is he speaking about some other? Philip not only answered the question of, no, he's speaking about Jesus, but he gave him more than what he asked for. This same Jesus that he's speaking about, the reason he's speaking about him prophetically is because he was announcing that he was coming specifically to die as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. So that through his blood, his promises to those whom he came to die for can be now made available. But these promises can only be enjoyed by those who are obedient to his commandment. Purpose, amen. Promise, precept. If you've never evangelized before, you've been wondering, well, how can I teach the gospel? Follow Philip's very simple three-step rule. Teach about the purpose of Jesus. Teach about the promises of Jesus. But please, please, please do not leave out the precepts of Jesus. Because without those precepts, the first two won't matter. You need all three of them. You need all three of them. So as we bring our lesson to a close, notice that revealing the Redeemer is so much more than just giving his name and identifying him. Notice that to reveal the Redeemer is to show his purpose. It is to speak to us about his promises, but also to explain to us the precepts that are tied to his promises for which he died. This morning, perhaps you, friend, were not aware of this. Perhaps you were one of those who has been a victim of the confusion in the denominational world, in the false religions that claim to be the truth. You see, they may have wanted to confuse you by making you believe that with a simple vain babbling that they call the sinner's prayer is how you are saved. But notice that that is not the precept of Christ. That is not the precept of the Lamb of God who died on the cross, the Lamb of God who gives us the promise. No, the precept that He has given is that you are to be baptized, that is, to be immersed, to be fully submerged in the watery grave for the remission of your sins. Not only for the remission of your sins, so that you then can be added into the family of God, the family of heaven. And not only so you could be a co-heir with Christ, but so that in baptism you imitate, you emulate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. But here's the beauty of it, friend. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 26, going on to verse 29, teaches us that Jesus appeared a first time to put away sin. But He will appear a second time, separate from sin, not having to do with sin. He will appear a second time, having to do with life, and life everlasting. When you rise out of the waters of baptism, you rise to a newness of life. Amen. That's the promise. But that promise is tied to that precept. Like the Ethiopian eunuch wondered, if you are wondering, here is water, and we checked, it hasn't been used, you may be the first one. We'll even write your name on it if you want. Here is water. What is keeping you from being obedient to the gospel today? What is stopping you from being a co-heir with Christ? What is stopping you from laying hold of that crown of life this morning? It is God who promises, and God does not lie. But it is also God who commands. And thus, for this reason, we as His church, we ask, don't you want to be saved today? You are ready to lay hold of these promises, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation.